EOE, Opportunity Snack, Church, so everybody gets equal opportunity for snacks around here, right?
That's right.
All the little people. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whew. Been a crazy couple weeks, hasn't it? God of this world's been busy, but our God is better. Amen. And tonight, we're going to talk about resting in the Lord, which is very good. There's just a lot of, you know, I was just online and just doing some different things, and all the news junk pops up, and it's just, your blood starts getting boiling when you start reading a bunch of stuff online, and you just got to cast it on the Lord, don't you?
Yeah.
And, well, Philippians chapter 4, while you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Father, we glorify you tonight, Lord. We pray that the people who gave, that it would be given unto them, pressed down, shaken together, Lord God. We thank you that as people sow into the kingdom, Lord, that you, that we are not giving into a church, but we're giving into you. That you, we are giving to you, Lord, and we are sowing our giving our tithes back to you, Lord, and offerings. We glorify you. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the word tonight. We thank you that it sets us free. Lord, it heals us. Lord God, it brings us comfort. Lord, and it settles our mind, Lord, as well. And our mind, will, and emotions, Lord Jesus, and our body and spirit and our soul realm can all come into line with your word, Lord. We thank you for it in your name. Philippians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 4. But we're talking about resting in the Lord tonight. We need to rest in the Lord because the enemy will bring false reports. The enemy will bring lies. The enemy will tell you all kinds of junk in your life. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. And nobody likes you. But that's not true. And also, too, that everything's awful, terrible, and everything's going to be, you know what? I read the back of the book, and we win. That's what it all comes down to. We win in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil's going to try to convince you between point A to point B that you're done. Nothing is, everything's awful, terrible. Let me just say this. All these things that are coming out in the news is really interesting because, you know, especially things like Elon Musk was going to buy Twitter, and now we're finding all these accounts are fake. You know, so all the stuff that we thought, right, the con artists that are trying to get us to think that everybody thinks this way is a big fat lie, right? And you just watch on TV, everybody, you know, what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about the interview people? What are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about this? It's like, well, nothing, because it doesn't matter, right? And then things just don't matter. You know, what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about this? Oh, I'm sorry, I have to do something about that? No, all I have to do is love God and obey him, right? And so I don't have to do everything you tell me to do. Because the world will, and the devil, I've said this before, the devil will come to you and say, okay, you got to choose between option A or B. Well, you know what? I choose option Q or T or Z. Did I say Q? Whoopsie-daisies. That slipped out, didn't it? But I don't have to choose any of those options, right? And I don't have to believe the lies of the enemy. And again, you're going to find out, this is why it's so important to study the word, because the word tells you, and we'll have some scriptures tonight, this world system is a lie. It is anything separate from this word is a lie. It is a lie. And the Bible talks about there in Revelation, the devil will have lying wonders. He doesn't have the ability to do what Jesus did. There are lying wonders. It was interesting. There's a End Times movie. I don't remember who it was. It was a few years back. But the interesting thing was with the person who was playing the Antichrist, maybe it came out. It wasn't the one with Kirk Cameron. It was another series that came out right around the same time. It wasn't Left Behind. It was another one. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, one of the other ones, it had the guy that was playing the Antichrist was talking. He basically had all these lying wonders, you know, that he deceived people. How did he deceive people? Well, all of these things that he would manipulate first of all, he controlled the media, and then in the movie, and then another thing how he did it was he would take video and edit it so that it was deceptive, right? Well, do you think we see that today?
Yeah.
We sure do, right?
Yeah.
So again, you can't believe everything you see on TV, and I don't really watch really any of it because, again, I remember Gary Crowell, which was Dean of Rhema, came. He's one of our other facility. He came and spoke a few other times. You remember him coming. But he had Lester Sumrall at his church speak, and he told me some stories. It was really funny. Just some interesting things about Lester Sumrall. But Lester Sumrall had Smith Wigglesworth to his house went to Smith Wigglesworth because he was in England at the time, right before World War II, and before they forced all the Americans out, a lot of the Americans out. But anyway, he went to Smith Wigglesworth's house, and he had his top hat on, and he had a newspaper under his arm, and he said he would not let him walk in with that newspaper in his arm. Wouldn't let it in his house. Why? Because he says that's the lies of the devil. And he's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Right? And so anything outside of this is all subject to I mean, this is the only truth that we can stand on right here.
Yeah.
It is the only solid truth. When we get outside of this, now everything's up for debate. But inside the Word of God, this is what we have. This is where we see truth. And that's where we see the most attacks. We were just, and I'm kind of off on a little tangent, but today we're reading an article where they were saying how Christians are Bible-believing people are the biggest threat to America. Now, it's because we stand in the way of your agenda. That's what it is. We are the biggest threat. We are the biggest threat to them because we're the group that says no, no, no.
Right?
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, but you know what? We're going to have rest in peace because it doesn't matter what, we expect it. And that's what the scriptures I'm reading tonight is, we expect that to come from the world, but we're going to have peace in the process. Got it? I mean, we expect these things. And so Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Now he doesn't preempt it with, Paul doesn't tell the people at Philippi, doesn't say, if everything's going good, if everything's wonderful, you know, the bank account's full, cupboards are full, all the bills are paid, everything. No, rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about all this stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Right?
But
in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. Verse 7, and what? The peace of God. Guess what we have that the world doesn't have?
Peace.
The peace of God. The peace of God. You know, it's just incredible. I watch people, and, you know, we have some people, family members will call us, oh, did you see what was on TV? No, I don't care. I just don't care, right? I mean, I want to know what's going on, right? It's good to pray about things and be aware of things. But I don't sit around thinking about this junk. I don't care, right? Because the devil's crowd is going to do what the devil's crowd does. Why am I surprised by this at all? It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. Now, we're going to pray, and, you know, we're going to take our authority over things. But, again, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. I like how he says passes all understanding, because there's sometimes you can have peace. And I know I've had people I've talked to recently, and they'll talk to me about things, and they'll say, and they're waiting for a reaction, like as if I care, right? I mean, I don't. You know, you worry about the markets? Worry about this? Did you hear about this? This happened over here in Texas. Did you hear about this? I have peace that passes understanding, right? Because I should be upset by the world standard, right? The world, you watch the TV and watch the news, it's like, everybody shook up. Everybody's talking about this. Everybody, I don't know who you're talking about, everybody. That's not me. I mean, and not that I don't care about people we pray about, we pray for people we are, but I don't go into chaotic mode because I hear something out there, right? I don't go into panic mode. I go into peace mode. That what passes all understanding shall keep your what? Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus is our root.
Amen.
He is the one that's going to keep us balanced, not the news.
Yes.
See, the news wants to manipulate your, you know, and it's like this too. When you get into making decisions and your thought processes, and I know emotions are not, God gave us emotions and they're good. There's nothing wrong with having emotions. But when they lead and guide our thought process and our decisions, then we need to pump the brakes. We want to go with the Word of God and what He's speaking to us, not what circumstances are dictating to us or what people tell us we need to do, right? How we should react, what we do. Because we have peace. We're not in denial. That's a river in Egypt. Okay, so we're not in denial about everything. That's where people get all weird. Like, you faith people, you just deny everything. Ah. We're not denying we have anything. We're not denying these things. But what we're saying is we choose not to focus on those things, but we focus on the source, which is the Lord.
Amen.
And through Him, we get peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we pray for those people, and we care about these people, and we reach out to these people that are hurting. We're not denoting those things. But let me just say this. If I'm broke, how am I going to bless other people, right? If I'm an emotional wreck, how am I going to help you? You know, I've done funerals before, and people were like, oh, you're just so strong and everything. You're just, you know, you're so calm and cool. I was like, what would you feel like if I went up there? How am I going to help anybody? I can't help anybody, right? If I'm an absolute basket case. Hello? That's why people were drawn to Jesus, because there's strength with Him, wasn't there? In the midst of chaos, I mean, He still cried at Lazarus' tombs, but there's something about Jesus. There was so much peace and confidence with Jesus. People were drawn to Him, right? Sinners and publicans were drawn to Jesus because there was a strength there. And there was something that He had, and that was just, there was a peace and a strength that just goes beyond all comprehension. And that's available for us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what is going on around us, we can have strength and peace, right? Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have emotions and you grieve, and there's a grieving process, and we're not saying that we're going to deny all these things. But we are saying is God can give you supernatural ability to have peace and strength when other people don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can see that through the Word. And then verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is a key. We need to control our thought life, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
When you're meditating on garbage from the world, you're going to think about garbage from the world. You're going to talk about garbage from the world. Guess what? You're going to act like the world eventually. When you think and you talk and you act like it. We've got, the way we get a perfect peace from God is we're going to meditate on whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever. Again, we're not denying the things that are in the world around us, but we choose to focus on what things are good, pure, lovely. What is that? That's God. That's just thinking about Him all the time, right? His ability to do things. And then verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in Me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at last for your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So Paul is telling the people at Philippi, meditate on good things, all right? And have the peace of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Turn there, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. You know, we're coming into a day, too, where we're seeing more and more, things are beginning to get more and more ramped up, where the world system, they get mad at us because we don't accept their philosophy, right? And if they don't accept ours, then, you know, we don't usually panic or anything. But if we don't accept theirs, then it's like a big meltdown, right? It's a big, they pitch this big fit, you know. How dare you? Guys, they're not of us. Verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, right? So it's not just natural things, but it is, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you this. Is there any righteousness in the world right now? Absolutely not. Is there any peace in the world? Flip on the TV, right? They don't have any. Now, there's one guy that was, he had a little during the COVID lockdown. One of the guys that was a star, John Krasinski, I think that's his name. He had the something to happy, whatever. The good news, whatever news thing. And they'd have like kids doing things and all these little happy things or whatever. But news isn't like that. All right. That's kind of, so there's no peace at all. And there's definitely not any joy in the world, right? You turn it on the TV, again, it's just negative, 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 negative. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. But we don't have to be negative, do we? We don't have to be full of despair, hopelessness, you know. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts." The peace of God. Rule your hearts. You know, the Bible also says, guard your heart, right? For out of it flow the issues of life. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and you be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Does the world do this? Absolutely not. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So again, it goes back to the meditation, doesn't it? Goes back to the meditation. I want to read this in the Amplified. In verse 15, it says, and let the peace, which is soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. So letting Christ umpire you, right? That takes discipline, because the world system is, it's just think about whatever you want to. Any weird, perverted, crazy thing, you know? I mean, I just saw this clip. This guy was talking about, and this is a whole nother sermon to dive into, but he gave a graduation speech here recently, and he said that they would go out and live, you know, biblically based lives, and you know, for them, the men to find ladies and ladies to find and get married and have a happy life. He was labeled hate speech, yep, on the media, right? Because he said live a biblically based life, right? Hate speech. You can't imagine some of the stuff people have said to us, like through the internet, face to face, right? You know, I don't go around saying hate speech about them, but if you question anybody on anything, it's panic. But right here in the scripture, it says that Christ is to be our umpire. How do we do that? Through the word. You know? And it's amazing how, you know, then, you know, people will say, well, you know, there's just so many different opinions on you know, in Christianity about these different topics. It's like, wait a minute here. It's one book.
That's right.
Right? I don't read, you know, Alice in Wonderland, and I mean, we all come up with the same thing. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. If you read a book, you're all going to come to the same thing, right? Tom Sawyer. Oh, it's a kid on the Mississippi River and this and this and this, you know. I mean, there's no debate on that stuff. It's pretty simple, right? It says here that we're supposed to keep our minds in him and let Christ umpire our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that means he should have the rule over these things. And verse 16, let the word speak by Christ the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you. What's dwell? That is continually moving about, right? You're dwelling, it's living in you in all richness as you teach and admonish and train one another and all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace in your hearts. And whatsoever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon His person. There we go. Dependence upon Him. Giving praise to God the Father through Him. Now, you know, I was kind of looking up some interesting information because keeping our minds and thoughts on Christ, even the secular realm understands this thought. You know, it was called this source called scholarly source is called Anxiety Canada, and they have a talking about where does anxiety come from. Now, this is interesting because, you know, we think that, and this is all comes back to the world system. They think that everything is just me, just my life. I'm going to do my thing. You know, if I don't hurt anybody else. But it says here, as a parent, for example, often anxiety can come through parents or people in our home. A parent who warned you about the possible dangers, meaning when you were a child and you've had a parent in the world, may have made you feel like the world is really a scary place and that there's lots of worries. So what it is, you know, we often can display that on other people around us, can't we? We have children, we have a spouse, we have anybody around us. If we're beginning to have anxiety or these things, we can put it on people. It goes on, it says, sometimes if parents struggles with anxiety, we end up learning anxious behaviors from them. So again, these are all often learned behaviors. How many of you have learned behaviors from parents before, right? Maybe you have had anxiety or dealt with or been around people who are anxiety, fearful, just insecure about things, right? And you feel those things come upon you. Well, the world even recognizes those things. People call them generational curses. I mean, it doesn't mean that necessarily that, but what it does mean often there's a learned behaviors. Maybe there's a spiritual force too that's trying to influence you that has been on your parents. But we have victory over this, don't we? So, and he goes on, for example, maybe your dad seemed anxious about talking to unfamiliar people and didn't invite people over to the house. As a result, you may have learned to be anxious in social situations, right? So again, those things that we do, it can influence other people. That's why it's important for us to have the responsibility to be able to control or use the word. So for example, you know, what if I fail an exam? What if I say something stupid? Right? I do that all the time. So, what if they laugh at me? Yeah, people laugh at me all the time. They're not laughing with me, they're laughing at me. Okay, I get it. You know, what if this really hurts? What if I crash a car? What if I eat something that makes me sick? You know, but, I mean, we have all these things that can go through our head, right? There's another one called, this is interesting, Healthline. It was really interesting, but just the effects of letting things bother you. And symptoms of anxiety are often increased heart rate, rapid breathing, restlessness, trouble concentrating, difficulty falling asleep. Usually my difficulty falling asleep is kids or dogs. So once I get those monkeys put to bed, then I can... No? All right. And then common symptoms of anxiety attack are feeling faint or dizzy, shortness of breath, dry mouth, sweating, chills or hot flashes, you know, worry, restlessness, distress, fear, numbness or tingling. So you're like, why are you talking about this stuff? Because your thoughts can influence you physically, guys.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. That if you don't get this under control and get this under the blood and get in the word on things and you let your mind get out of control, now what happens is it's affect you physically. The last thing I want to see anybody deal with is just physical issues, right? And all goes back to, we can have, just like Philippians chapter 4 said, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding in our hearts and minds through Christ, don't we?
Yes.
Harvard Health published, this is interesting, talking about COVID during the COVID years, all right? And this was just freshly burned in our brains, right? We just got out of this, but this is interesting. But I'm going to talk more scriptures here in a minute. And it says they were talking about, as if we didn't have enough worry already, then they're talking about, then came along COVID-19, and which pushed our people's anxieties to new heights. The reasons obviously weren't hard. They talk about the threats of illness, right? People were scared of getting illnesses, possible death, lingering symptoms, right? Job insecurity. So now we have people possibly losing their jobs, and I dealt with that on a daily basis. Social isolation, right? So now people were either, you know, in close quarters, living conditions, small spaces. Upended their daily routines. They had massive financial losses people were dealing with. Some were dealing with, looming threats of being evicted from their apartments. Others, the impossibility of keeping, you know, a business afloat, and just the list goes on and on. So people were dealing with fears about physical, the financial, emotional wreck. It was like every aspect of our of many people their being were under attack during this time. And what did we feed on? The news. Yep. Right? It all came back to the news. You get the little short guy up there, you know, that was, you know, now we found out he supported all this junk, financed all this garbage. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the little dwarf dude got up there and spewed his garbage out all the time, and he's still trying to do that now. Anyway, maybe he'll be tried at some point. We got all these anxieties all the time. We're dealing with all these things. Why? Because we're being fed with all of these things, and we're put in these positions. But we can still have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And, you know, we were, during that time, we had people all the time, oh, let me get this, and oh, you might get this disease, you might get this, and you might get COVID. So, it's kind of my reaction, right? I mean, last time I knew, Jesus was still above COVID. Right? Or any other disease or financial situation we're ever going to counter, right?
Yes.
So give me a break. It was just like basically a glorified flu. So not that that's nice, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we can have peace. We can have peace through all of this stuff. Everything that's going on now, we don't have to be fearful. We can have the peace of God. Well, number one is being led by the Spirit. Really need to be led by the Holy Ghost, because there's a lot of junk out there, but the Holy Ghost is going to lead us and guide us. He said he'd lead us and guide us in all truths. And I'm just saying this, a lot of things on TV you're watching now are not really what they seem. They are not what they seem. I'm just telling you right now, and there are things that happen, and yes, people get killed, and my heart goes out to them, and I'm definitely not denying things don't really happen, but there are more and more things coming out that really make me question the validity of a lot of these things in the news lately. So just do your homework, and you know, these people just, well, how dare you think for yourself? Yeah, it's called a brain. The Bible says, told us to come to God and God said, let us reason together. Mm-hmm. There is a reasoning with God. There's a discussion with him. He likes to have talks with us and discuss the word and discuss things. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. How many are believers? Me? Mm-hmm. Me. You. You. How many other believers we have here? Okay, we got a few hands popping up here. Okay. Hallelujah. Hey. We got St. Louis Cardinal people here that love Jesus. All right, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But if I'm a believer, then the God of this world has not blinded me, and it has not blinded you, has he?
Amen.
It just does not have any effect at all. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on us. This is so awesome. Again, how are the minds of the unbelievers blinded? By feeding on the things of the world. On feeding on the things of the world. Where do they get their sources? Well, they don't get it from the Bible. They don't get it from preachers. They don't get it from people like you. They're getting it from the source on the news, which, again, is manipulated. What? Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure of Christ is in us. Guys, there is a treasure in you. And the devil wants you to believe that you are nothing. You are just going to be, everybody's going to get shot tomorrow. We're going to starve to death. We're going to get some weird disease. It's just going to happen. Everything's going to blow up. It's just crazy. Oh, it's just awful, terrible. No, God is going to, he's going to protect this earthen vessel in us, isn't he? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. How many feel troubled sometimes on every side? Again, you watch the TV, it's like, we were just talking about this. When I was in Africa, I was in we were in this village, and there are UN troops there. And I was just thinking about all the stuff happening lately, and I thought, these Muslim guys were trying to kick my door in and get to me, right? And I prayed and took authority over it, and they left. And it was absolutely God. But I was thinking to myself, there wasn't any 911 to call. I didn't have any of my guns with me, right? It would have been handy at the time, right? but God showed up, though, right? And sometimes we don't have those things, but I was like, I know some people don't like guns, but I was like, it was really coming handy at that time, But God's here. He's here to protect us, isn't he? And I like the scripture. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Here we go. But not in what? Despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, what? But not destroyed. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws our way. We cannot be destroyed. I want to close with this here. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. And sometimes I felt like this. I mean, it's the temptation. Not that I, go on, but, the perception from the world. Again, the perception from the world. And this is the account of Elijah. And he just got done with Jezebel and, all the 400 prophets. And, he's just really going. And then all of a sudden now he's like Eeyore from, Winnie the Pooh. Oh, it's terrible. I'll probably die here. That guy, And verse 14, and it says he replied again, I have been zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, tore down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. Oh, I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Wah, wah, wah. Everything's awful terrible, right? Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms, right? Sing that as a kid. So everything's terrible, awful. God, I sit here and I do all stuff and here he help, God help. Oh, boat's going down and we're just, this is it. What's he say? Then the Lord told him, okay, God's got a response here. I like God. God comes back and goes, okay, wait a minute here. Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from the town of, you know that place, to replace you as my prophet. Now, I'm convinced, I want to stop right here. I believe when we get to heaven, there is going to be a class for biblical name pronunciation. I believe that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Lord, I read it and everything else too. And so the girls are starting to memorize the books of the Bible. And they're like, Dad, all these names. I said, well, if it would be today, it would be Bob, Joe, Larry, Frank, the book of George, the book of, right? That's their names back then, okay? So I can't, but anyway. So I really believe when we get to heaven, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have a name pronunciation class. There we go. I think that's going to help. Nah, I don't think we will. But anyway, sounds good. verse 17. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Here we go, verse 18. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal and kissed him.
Yeah.
The world wants you to think that you are the only one. Boo-hoo-hoo.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else here loves God. Everybody else is doing this, right? How come you don't accept this lifestyle? How come you don't do this? First of all, I'm like, okay, well, stop the fake intellectualism because it's not working anymore, right? Second of all, there are a lot of us out here that love God. And first of all, look around. There's us. Of course, there's even people who love God who aren't here tonight. But the point is this, when you get discouraged, just know that, hey, I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the only one. There are others out here who have faith just like me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And keep your mind in Christ.
Yes.
Meditate on good things, whatever is pure, lovely, good report. Think on what? These things. Faith does not dwell on negative. What is the thing that pleases God? It's faith. And faith is something that says, I can. Fear says, I can't. Faith says, I'm going to make it through it. Fear says, I'm going down. You know, and the whole thing of it is, the world system just can't handle someone who's happy and not heavily medicated, right? That's just, we can't have that, right? Never taking medication, I'm not condemning. But what I'm saying is, you know, I don't have to be on all the sauce. I don't have to be on these things. I don't have to rely on this. I don't have to rely on this, but I have to rely on God. And he's going to get me through it, and he's going to bring me joy no matter what. I mean, I remember as a kid, or even when younger, I was be doing things, and I just never thought. I mean, you know, it's a part of it is expanding your thinking too, but, you know, when you're younger, you're thinking, okay, I would have never thought I'd own a home or build a home or have a job or do things or, you know, but God can open things up for us, can't he? And it doesn't matter what things have looked like for how long, God can still change things. We were married for 13 years before we had the twins, and, you know, God's faithful. And then Emily came along, too, and I was like, whoa, where'd you come from, kiddo? Amen. And so God is a blessing. Think on these things. Everybody else said no, but God said yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, right? Amen. God is the God of the impossible, right? And we were never going to sit there and say, let the naysayers and doctors or whoever. It was like we stand on, it's always easy to just get discouraged, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so easy just to give up, just throw the towel and just go, oh, I'm done. We're done. All right, I'm over. I'm checking out. No, don't check out.
Amen.
No, it's not. Everybody here has too much to do. Too many people to impact. Too many things to do. And, you know, like Adrian is talking about the, Dr. Mark, his testimony is he died. And for whatever reason, the Lord was like, no, you know, your wife is going with me, but you have to stay. You have other things to do. And he's impacted so many people through his, you know, through his ministry, and us. He's, you know, really brought some light years ago when we had a ministers' conference there. So, you know, there are things that we're doing, and what is it? I'm thinking Zadai. What is his name? Kevin. Yeah, Kevin. You know, basically was getting what was it back in the early 90s? A dental. You know. Plug for Dr. Ansel back there, the dentist. You know, dentists are good. We're not. You know, go to dentist. Go to him. But the Lord, yeah, spoke to him and said, hey, you got a lot of things to do. And you know, the devil's gonna say you're all done. There's nothing for you to do here. Blah blah blah. And that's a complete lie. And or the world saying that everything's awful, terrible. We're gonna have joy through the journey. Amen. It's not just. I got to do it. I got to do this. We're going to have joy in the journey. And that's what makes life living. You know, you can live life or you can just exist. And the world just exists. Just plugging some money away in my retirement. And I just can't wait to retire and be done. Okay. All right, I guess. But there's a lot more to life than that. Amen. And no matter what is going on out in the world, the TV, just remember, it's controlled by the God of this world.
Yeah.
And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And God has, there's definitely others with us that love God, and we're all in the same boat together. We're overcomers. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness. We rest in you. We thank you, Lord, that we rest in your word. We rest in those things, Lord. We cast off cares. We roll it off. We cast it on you, for you care for us, Lord. Tonight, you know, I just feel led tonight, right now, just something that you're just... There's something that is bothering you. There's something that is just, there's just some wall, something right now. Just tell the Lord, I cast this on you. Just say, I cast, and then just list whatever that is. I cast whatever that is on you tonight. Just, there's something that is standing in your way, whether it's finances, relationship, whatever that is, I don't know, something that's just a thought process or something. Lord, tonight we just cast those things off on you. We give those things to you, Lord. We thank you. We set it at your feet, and we trust you to take care of it.
Yes.
And we are not going to touch it in the thought life anymore, but we rely and trust in you. You know, the Bible says that we are to magnify God. And it doesn't mean that we're making God bigger, because he's never going to change. I mean, he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So he's not going to get any bigger or smaller. But to magnify God means, it just means make him bigger in our mind. That's it. And just to focus that his ability is bigger than even our thought processes. You know, Ephesians, the sixth chapter says that he is able to do exceeding, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 20, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, the power that works in us.
I also keep hearing this, not to grow weary and well.
Yes.
For if we continue and we don't faint and we don't quit, we will make it through to the other side. And I just keep hearing that.
Thank you, Lord.
I hear, too, that people have had the thought or said, yeah, I've heard these things. I've done them for so long. I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing that. Or I'm not seeing fruit or whatever. Do not grow weary in well-doing. When you go to the Lord with that, don't hide from him in questions or discouragement, but to take all that to him and just talk to him about it and bring yourself in remembrance of the fact that he's good and he's not hiding anything from
you.
And he doesn't want to hide anything from you. And if you get quiet and go into a secret place with him, you will hear his voice. And he
will talk
to you. And you will know what to do. And you will know adjustments to make. And he will explain the things you need to know.
Yes.
Not everything. Did you hear that? Not everything, but the things you need to know to go forward.
Thank you,
so
Jesus.
So don't believe the lie that you've been doing this, and I've been doing this, but go and have private time with him and know and believe that he wants to speak to you
Amen.
About what to do.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, everybody have a good week. Amen. We will see you all next Saturday.